Saturday live on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Greg, it's a pleasure to have you back on with us again. It's been quite some time, and certainly the last time we spoke, it was under very different circumstances. And I was reading an article actually during the week which said that Ireland had one of the highest rates of home working during the crisis. In fact, we had the, or probably still have, the second highest levels of working from home after Belgium. And I think, you know, you and I were chatting earlier on about this, and I know certainly something I thought about was this fantasy before the pandemic of working from home, and how wouldn't life be just wonderful to be able to work from home and have this beautiful work-life balance. And in fairness, I think for many people working from home, there are certainly big advantages to it, aren't there?
Good morning, Carl. Absolutely, there is. There's massive benefits to it, but there are also downsides to it as well. I mean, statistically, if you look at the overall picture, but people work much better in teams because they've got much more support with their colleagues. There's a bit of competition between their colleagues. So they're more proactive and they're more efficient and therefore much more productive. The benefits then of working at home is that you don't have to commute, you have no traffic, you have no road rage, you have more time in the mornings, you have proper food for your lunch as opposed to going down to Carb City to grab something. You know, you're saving money on petrol or bus fares or parking, and you're saving money on coffees even. So there are massive benefits to it. But I suppose going back to, you know, working from home versus working from an office environment, I think what people need to understand is that I suppose they need to set boundaries and they need to identify what their boundaries are. Ask yourself, what are your boundaries? If you normally work from 9 to 5, are you going to work 9 to 5 from home? And I think you must agree that and set your boundaries at work. If it's 8 to 4, work 8 to 4. Do you normally take a break at work? You have to take a break at home. But when you take a break at home, you can't go and do a bit of ironing or stick a wash on or whatever. Just take your 10-minute break.
This is the thing, isn't it? And I think for a lot of people, because they've been forced into a situation to work from home, they've been kind of winging it because, let's face it, it's something that they've never had to experience before. But if you're at home, particularly if you have kids, it's very difficult to set those boundaries because you might actually say to the family, well, you know, guys, I'm working here now, but when they know that you're only in the next room, and children really don't understand.
No, they don't.
Then how do you do that? And it can be very stressful, emotionally and mentally very stressful.
It can be. And I think that the most important thing that we do is that we communicate. And it's not just with our children or our partners or our friends or whoever, but it's the people in the work, it's the team that you work with. You know, you've got to communicate with them stating, you know, this is not normal for me. I don't have a defined workspace at home. I'm sitting on the couch or I'm sitting on the edge of a bed and sometimes sitting on a dressing table. You know, you've got to communicate with them and tell them the difficulties that you're having. It may be something that they can say, right, work when the child is down asleep or work when the child is at play school, but there has to be communication and it has to be effective and it has to include everything that you're going through. You've got to be direct, but you've got to keep it simple. Don't try and complicate things. You know, keep it as simple as you possibly can, but do as best you possibly can create your workspace. And you've got to create the boundaries where possible. There will be, you know, kids who fall over or bump their heads or whatever that may be, but you've got to have the ability to do both, working from home or working in a remote environment.
What about then, just going back to the challenges when it comes to, you know, what you were saying at the start, Greg, about when you work from home, you do miss the interaction with your workmates. You miss the support, perhaps you even miss getting that sort of professional peer motivation. And, you know, I've read stories of people who literally, because their workspace is in their bedroom, fall out of bed in their pajamas. That's where they work all day until they kind of fall back into bed at night. And that's not good for you.
No, it's not good for you. And I suppose what you need to be really aware of, that you have to be workday aware. So before you go to work, I mean, if you normally get up, have your shower, do your tea, grab breakfast, rush out the door and into work, you leave your home in a work mode where you're going into the office or to get into your work environment to do your 8 hours a day. So rather than just falling out of bed and grabbing a laptop on the floor beside you, get up, have your shower, do your teeth, have your breakfast, go out, go for a walk, even if it's just around the block, and then walk back into your home environment in your work mode and design your workspace. You know, if you have a specific corner of the kitchen or a specific corner of the sitting room or a specific corner of the bedroom, if that's your workspace, create that environment and do get up, get into a routine, have your breakfast, have your shower, go out, come back in and sit down in your work environment and work and then communicate. You've got to be communicating with your team. Don't be afraid. If you're having a problem, talk to them. Same as what you would do in work. If you're struggling with doing something, go and talk to them.
But let me throw this to you, because I think for a lot of people, it's still difficult, isn't it, to say to your boss, I have a problem, particularly if you're mentally or emotionally struggling. The worry can be that the boss won't understand, that will think, well, I can't trust this person to do the job properly, that basically it might put their job at risk.
It might, but it shouldn't. I suppose there's two approaches. There's the employer's approach to this and there's the employee's approach to this. I mean, what employers have to do is they've got to trust their employees. And one of the most important things that we do for an employee is to trust them. If you don't trust them to a job, you're going to be on top of them and you're going to be causing more stress. So communicate with them and then reward them. And I don't mean financially reward them, because you're getting their salary anyway. But just say to them, great job, a job well done. But from an employee's point of view, if you are struggling, you've got to ask for the help. You've got to keep talking and you've got to join in. If there is a Zoom weekly meeting, which is nothing to do with work, it's just a bit of banter, you've got to join into these things and be part of the crack that used to be there. You with me?
I am absolutely with you. Absolutely with you. I remember reading an article last year where it was suggested that companies should actually have a designated head of remote working. Do you think that's a good idea?
Absolutely. And that's part of the chain that, you know, and a link that is really important to the metaphorical chain. If somebody is there specifically to organize the weekly chats, the checking in on people, making sure that you're okay, phone calls, sending out donuts or flowers or whatever that may be to each team member or to a specific team member.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Absolutely. although yeah, I think we're all eating a little bit too much these days anyway.
Well, that's the other thing about working from home, isn't it? The fridge is too close
is too close, but you're eating better food than you are when you're buying your processed food over the counter, I suppose.
That's true. If you find, Greg, that as a result of working from home now, your whole attitude to your job has changed, because I guess in some ways it would have to, wouldn't it? And you're finding that actually this isn't working for me. I'm not sure I really want to do this. What would you advise as a career coach? What can you do? That's a difficult conversation to have with your boss, isn't it?
It is a difficult conversation, but it's a conversation that has to happen. Some people are suitable to working from home and others just aren't, because they don't have the connection that they need in terms of, yeah, there is somebody over there that I can go over to if I need a problem, and they're afraid to pick up the phone. They'd rather contrive a meeting down by the kettle or whatever that may be. So what people need to do is they may need to manage their stresses. And we've all got stresses, whether it be financial, relationships or health. But I suppose this would fall under the health category, where we are missing the social interaction and, you know, we need to occupy our mind with something more positive. So I suppose what they need to do is they need to communicate with their employers or their direct line managers. They need to tell them exactly how they're feeling. They need to explain that they're not getting the buzz that they used to get out of work, and what can they do to facilitate a little bit more support. They need to do a little bit more exercise. They need to occupy their mind more productively and more constructively. And they need the social interaction, whether that's through Zoom or Skype or whatever medium that we use. They need to do that. But communication is really critical in all of this.
And the hope is that you're actually working for a company who takes all that on board. You have the other side too of working from home, where, you know, you were talking earlier on about setting boundaries, but you also have to set boundaries with your employer, because I'm hearing more and more of people working from home and their employer is calling them at 8, 9 o'clock at night,
or
sometimes even on a Friday night.
Absolutely.
Or a Sunday night. And people are understandably anxious about addressing that and saying, well, actually, you can't call me at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah. And, you know, I suppose there's a fear of, oh, if I don't do it, there's plenty more people out there who will do it.
Indeed.
But I think once you do set the boundaries at the outset, you know, you can set your emails to come on between 9 and 5 these days on your mobile devices or your laptops. And you've got to be strict. You've got to have, right, these are my work boundaries. As I said, you've got to keep it simple and you've got to be direct. You know, people will think of something on a Saturday night or a Sunday night and send off an email. If it does beep or it does pop up, don't read it and don't respond to it. Mark it as unread, allocate that to your work schedule and only your work schedule. You know, and if it is getting on top of them and it is, you know, something that is happening on a regular basis, you've got to say, hang on a second here. This is causing me a little bit of an issue. I don't want to make it an issue. Please don't email me outside normal working hours, and just keep it simple.
And it's your right to do that.
Well, I mean, there's a new law now that you've got to give your people the ability not to, to take work home with them.
Greg, for anybody listening at the moment then, just to kind of sum it all up, who might be struggling, who might have thought, you know, originally that, okay, the whole working from home option would be fantastic and would open up life, and certainly it can, but who is struggling? What would your top three things that we need to be very mindful of, and that we have to make sure that we put these in place so that we take care of our health and we take care of our professional obligation as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key message would be to communicate. You've got to take your space as well. And when you're, I suppose, if you're working from home and your partner's at home, your wife, your husband, your kids, you also need space away from them. You know, so go for a walk. If you went out for a walk together with your partner, your wife or your husband or whatever, you're going to see things that you will talk about out there. But if you go out separately, you're going to come back and say, oh, do you know who I bumped into, or do you know who I saw, or something's happening down the town, or there's a new shop, or something's happening. It's changing the monotony of what it is. So you need your space. Mm. I suppose you've got to have the social interaction, put it up through WhatsApp or Zoom or whatever medium it is. You've got to occupy your mind with something more positive. You've got to communicate and exercise daily. I think the key to it is communicating with your peers and your colleagues and your bosses that you need to have some help or get support, or you just need some space, whatever that may be.
And perhaps ensuring that you do have a certain routine going on as well.
You so do that, need the routine, and that comes back down to setting your boundaries. If you normally work 9 to 5, that's your boundary from work at home. Take your breaks where you normally take them. Take your lunch when you normally take it, and finish at 5 o'clock and switch off, and then do the stuff that you would normally do.
Could I also add too that maybe get dressed? I know that sounds I know how that sounds, but it is very easy, isn't it, to fall into the, sure, I may as well just stay in my pyjamas or my old duds or whatever. But that has a psychological effect on you, does it not?
Of course it does. And this is what I was sort of saying earlier on. If you leave the house, get changed, showered, breakfast, head out to work as if you're going to work, and then walk back into your home in work mode, you may not have the tie on, but you will have the shirt on. And you've got to prepare yourself that if the Zoom does pop up and you need a Zoom call, you've got to be ready to perform in work mode, as opposed to sitting there in your sweatpants or whatever that may be. But it does. It's all to do with the mind. And, you know, getting a clean shave every day or whatever, that you're brushing your hair. But it does change your mindset, you know. And it goes from chilling out mode to, I've got to be sharp.
And be strict with yourself on that too, because it is so easy to fall into bad habits.
Yeah, and it is. And it's being positive and strict with your routine. And two, set your boundaries, stick by them.
Greg, thank you very much for that very wise advice. And I want to actually have you back because there's another subject now which I think a lot of people would be interested in having your take on, about if you find that because of the situation that the job that you thought was your job and the one that you really love, that you're now finding that it isn't your job anymore, and in fact you want a whole change of direction but you're not quite sure how to go about it. So I'd love to have you back to get your advice for people who are thinking of changing their career and are at a loss as to what direction to turn.
Sure, I'd be delighted to, Carol. Happy to do it.
Excellent. And in the meantime, if anyone wants to find out more information, Greg, about what you do, it's all on your website, gregdalton.ie. All right, Greg, a pleasure to have you with us as always. And
thanks, Carol.
Look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Likewise. Thanks, Carol. Take care.